This morning's reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. For everything, there is a season and a time for a matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe of him. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and understanding of his word.
So I have been thinking about this sermon for almost 2 months. Now, don't get excited. It isn't because I have been finally crafting each word or looking for the perfect anecdote or revising it into perfection. Nope. I have been thinking about it a lot because I have been wrestling with the approaching new year. I have been wrestling with all that 2023 contained, including some amazing experiences and a lot of disappointments and struggles. Acknowledging a feeling of dread about 2024 and desiring to infuse my spirit with hope instead, but struggling with how to do that. I've been questioning about what God is calling me to be and do this next year, and wondering what little steps I can reasonably and realistically take in my desire to approach this next year a little bit more reflective of God's love and vision for my life and for the world. So, what you get today is a sermon that I need to hear as we turn from one page to another. But my prayer for you is that what I need to hear might also be what you need to hear today. And if not, my prayer is what I pray every time I preach. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. So as we begin our journey in worship on this last Sunday, these last few hours of 2023, will you pray with me? God of all times and seasons, who is present with us in moments big and small, tear-filled and wonder-filled, make your presence felt today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer for all times and in all ways. Amen. Just as soon as the calendar turned from December 25th to December 26th, I don't know about you, but the ads began. Make a fresh start. Buy this fitness equipment. Quick and easy ways to lose weight. Organize your space instantly. Change everything you don't like about yourself between now or at least by January 1st. It's easy, right? These ads seem to be our culture's response to the passage of time. But we are not the only ones who reflect on time and wrestle with its meaning. Our scripture lesson today is probably one of the most familiar in the Bible, Perhaps it was because it was popularized by Pete Seeger's 1954 song, Turn, Turn, Turn. But Ecclesiastes is one of the books of wisdom found in the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament. It's a book like Proverbs and Job. In Ecclesiastes, it's attributed to a sage, simply called Teacher, who is reflecting on life in their seasoned and weary age. In this familiar passage, the teacher sets together 28 experiences known to human beings, beginning with birth and death and continuing through all the experiences, large and small, that we have. Yet the teacher is simply describing these things that happen in time. That's it, a description. No commentary about it. It isn't until verse 9 that the teacher says, I have seen the busyness that God has given everyone to be busy with. But here is the unusual thing. While time is often talked about in wisdom literature, the teacher does not have God commanding the seasons or this time for everything. Instead, the author is simply describing that there are different times for different things. The author doesn't say why exactly these things happen when they do, or who gets to control them or cause them. In fact, he says, we don't really know. But the important part of this passage is that it describes how we can respond to what God has done, including the embrace of the life that we have been given, that we should eat and drink and take pleasure in our toil. And the teacher goes on to argue that time is a mystery and advises about the futility of even asking why. He writes, God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he, God, has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We don't get to know. But here is how we can respond. We should all stand in awe. The teacher is advising us that a wisdom-filled response to life is to embrace it and stand in awe of the mystery of God, of who is the God of time and seasons, of life and death and the whole universe. Yet here is my problem and challenge. I don't know if it's one for you. I want to be able to live the life that God has given, but I want to be able to shape my days to be filled with more of the stuff that I like from the teacher's list, like, you know, that life and laughter and dancing, and less of the stuff that is hard and that I don't like. I want those seasons to be really, really short if they have to happen at all. I don't know about you. I recently started a devotion written by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie called Good Enough, 40-ish Devotionals for a Life of Imperfection. In one of the first devotions, Kate and Jessica shared the idea of a regula, which is a rule of life or a regular pattern of activities. They share how one of the predominant images of a regula in Christianity is a strict monastic life where everything is structured. They also share the story of how Saint Benedict created such a strict rule of life that his followers tried to poison him. I think we all have experienced trying to be too strict with our rule of life, haven't we? Fortunately, Benedict survived and he lightened up. And now his regula is remembered for moderation and balance. And he wrote this. We hope to set down nothing harsh, nothing burdensome. As we progress in this way of life and in faith, we shall run the path of God's commandments, our hearts overflowing with the expressible delight of love. I loved what they had to say, that a spiritual life is not about a perfection, but it's a pattern about what we regularly do. And this is something important for us, for me, to remember as we consider this new year. Perfection is not possible. In fact, I demonstrated this wonderfully to myself. I decided to try a regula, to create a way I wanted to live my days. So while on retreat in November, I had some amazing spirit-filled days where everything had enough time. And I wondered, why can't every day be like this? So I decided to try to fit everything in, to make a regula. I wrote down how I would like to spend my time every workday. I wasn't going to take every day off. I wanted to be sure I was realistic about the things I needed to do, such as brushing my teeth. So I included things like my needed sleep, yoga and exercise, prayer time, my workday, playing with my dog, and practical things like brushing my teeth, eating meals, my commute, those things. I then estimated how long each thing took, and then I added up the time. And it equaled 25¾ hours. And that didn't include the chores, like cleaning the bathroom. So I just began to laugh at my absurd expectation of myself, that this daily regula was not going to work. I still like the concept of creating a rhythm of life, but I had forgotten a piece of wisdom from our teacher today. Everything does not happen every day. Instead, we are reminded that there is a season. And a season is more than a day or 24 hours of time. So, how do we take a longer view of time? I turned to one of the other rhythms of my life, which some of you are familiar with, which is called the church year. This is often called the liturgical calendar, if you want the really fancy name. And the church across different flavors, across different denominations, each kind of have their own way. But basically, it's a regula over a year of our worship, of over the course of the year, of remembering the seasons. So, will you join me as we hear the story of how the church tells time? And if any of my friends would like to come forward to get a good view, they are welcome to join me. Sit over on the sides. Thank you. Everyone sit right over there, Maya. Okay. Some say time is in a line. And so that it has a beginning and an end. But time is hard to tell when it is in a line, because this could be the beginning and this the end, or this could be the beginning and this the end. It's hard to tell what is beginning and endings when time is in a line. I know. If I tie it together, then the beginning that is an ending and the ending is a beginning become connected. And it becomes a circle. And so we can tell time a little bit differently. The church tells time differently than the other ways that the church tells time. We have three big days that are white. We have Christmas, where we celebrate the mystery of how God became a little baby. We have Easter, where we celebrate the mystery of how Jesus died and God made him alive again. And we have Pentecost, where we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, of how the people of God are able to do the wonderful and amazing things that Jesus did. In the church, we have to get ready. Christmas is so important that we spend 1, 2, 3, 4 Sundays getting ready to celebrate Christmas. And these are the purple color, which is the color of getting ready. We call this season Advent. Christmas is so important that we often spend 2 Sundays celebrating it. And then we celebrate the season of Epiphany, which is 6 green Sundays, which we celebrate the birth of Jesus and how we see Jesus made present in the world. But then, as we're getting ready for Easter, it is so important that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Sundays that we have to get ready to celebrate the mystery of how Jesus died and God made him alive again. We call this time Lent. Now, Easter is such an important day that we have to spend not only Easter Sunday, but 5 more Sundays. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 celebrating the mystery and Easter and the gift of Easter. And then after Pentecost is the green growing time that we call the season of Pentecost, where we spend Sundays thinking about all that God has asked us to do and all that we do. And this is the season of Pentecost. We are entering the season of Epiphany now. And then we will move into the season of Lent. And every year, the church tells time this way, again and again. And it helps us to remember all the ways that God is at work in our lives. So I hope you will help me remember all the different ways and how we as the church tell time. Thank you for listening to my story. I appreciate you all very much. You may go back to your seats.
The church tells time differently. I don't know if you noticed, but we also tell the story a little backwards, not like a normal clockwise thing. Because year after year, we follow this rhythm of birth and life and death and resurrection and the meaning of Jesus Christ in our lives. And year after year, we have created a rhythm that reminds us that we are not the center of our own little lives. Instead, our lives are centered on God. Now, is the church year calendar a requirement of faith? Absolutely not. But it is wisdom, tradition that has been crafted and adapted over centuries and will continue to change as the Big C church changes. Yet the church year is a rhythm of our lives that reminds us that there is a time for everything. And we stand in that place that is in between. In between the little moments of life and the seasons of our lives and the eternity that we find in God.
Because whatever our relationship with time is, whatever season of life we are in, whatever stage of life we are in, God is a part of it, and we can be in awe. So as we turn the page to 2024, I don't know what the year may hold for me, for you, or for the world. But here is my prayer for you and for me. It is from St. Teresa of Lisieux, who died at the age of 24 of tuberculosis. Will you pray with me? May today there be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that you have been given. May you be content knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing and to dance, to praise in the love. It is there for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen.